In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you get the message from the beginning of the service? Right from the beginning, the first hymn, and then through the complaint of Jeremiah, and then through all the readings, through that wonderful Psalm 91. I always remember that psalm being chanted by one lone voice that Passover night in that great film with Charlton Heston, and in between the discussion going on, this chanted voice was, "You will not be overcome," you know, and so there's that hint. But it's about persecution. Lots of persecution. Jesus went on about it. Everybody's going to hate you for my sake. We have a wonderful happenstance today, in that this day we commemorate the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. And to be persecuted is also a martyrdom of confession of faith. We say what Jesus said, and if we do, we endure what Jesus endured. In 1530, that confession was delivered, and it really is the perfect illustration of what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel, namely, to confess Jesus boldly. "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." And that's what the Augsburg Confession is all about. Its aim, one simple truth, quoting from its introduction, "and Christian conquered, that for the future one pure and true religion may be embraced and maintained by us, that as we all are under one Christ and do battle under him, so we may be able also to live in unity and concord in the one Christian church." The men who signed that confession were doing the same thing as did the men who were signing the Declaration of Independence. It was illegal, and they were in trouble. It's no small thing. Do you think you're the only church with the truth? I know we have the truth, and I'm very proud of that. So it's fundamental to our biblical confession of Christ before the world, of eternal truths, anchored in the Word of God, enunciated in a simple, extremely deep, and eminently practical way. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending out his 12 apostles as missionaries commanded to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. And while this entire chapter has to do with those 12, that unique ministry of the apostles, it's especially the second half of this chapter that applies also to today's pastors, teachers, and laity, as each of us is called to confess Jesus before the world according to our various vocations. After his initial instructions, our Lord immediately warned about the persecution they will face, as their testimony will involve them in the spiritual warfare with sin, Satan, and death, just as our Lord himself endured as he was rejected and murdered on the cross of Calvary for the sin of the world. But even as he won the victory by his resurrection from the dead, so he instructs us and Jeremiah and everybody who else is ready to give up to always keep our ultimate deliverance and salvation in mind, even in the face of and against the most fearsome or threatening opposition of the world. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul says, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Confession, that is, speaking the truth of faith, is the evidence of what's in the heart. First, then, is the concern for your own salvation by faith. Second is the confession of that salvation for the sake of others. And what is it that we are first to believe for ourselves and then to speak or witness to others? Jesus says, everyone who confesses me before men. To confess Jesus. Funny how we, and even great church bodies, forget that the confession is about Jesus. Our 500th anniversary theme, it's still all about Jesus. We're to confess him, how he is the Son of God, that long promised and awaited Messiah for Israel and the light for the Gentiles also, that is the ransom and salvation for all the world's sinners. It's the message summarized in the three ecumenical creeds. Jesus promises that on the last day, those who have faithfully made confession of him here, he also will confess to his Father. That is, Christ will confess the person who faithfully confessed him before others, saying, "This one is mine." Of course, says Jesus, the opposite is also true. To deny Jesus before the world either shows a complete lack of faith or a fear of men that weakens or denies faith. This is guarded against by a life of continued repentance and faith. So, how's your confession? Is it bold? Are you afraid? In order for you to confess Jesus truly, you must first of all make his word your home. Know him and his will. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus made the amazing promise, especially when you are under persecution. He said, "When your persecutors deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour." And when he said that, he didn't mean some kind of wild mystical experience where suddenly you go into a trance. To be given what you are to say is simply the Holy Spirit bringing to your memory the words of Scripture. But you can only remember those words if you first studied them. Or how did we used to pray? Read, marked, learned, and inwardly digested them. Such is the goal or purpose of continued Bible study and the hearing of the word proclaimed in the divine service, hearing the readings, the sermon, the liturgy, and song. The goal is confession. That is to say the same thing, to confess concerning Jesus and God's law and gospel. There is a terrible opposite to confession of faith, and that is the denial of Jesus, of the truth of who he is. And this reveals, as we said, either a complete lack of faith or a fear of men. Interesting, the word for deny here appears only one other place in the New Testament, and that is at Peter's denial of Jesus that night, ushered in by the betrayal of Judas of Iscariot. It must have been because of fear that this otherwise fiery, impetulant, overconfident first of the apostles became as silent as an unbeliever. A servant girl looked closely at Peter in the nighttime courtyard at the high priest's house and said, "This man also was with Jesus." Peter denied it. "I don't know him." Later, someone else said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter objected. Still another said, "Certainly this man also was with Jesus, for he too is a Galilean." "Man," Peter protested, "I do not know what you are talking about." And then we know the rest of the story. Have you ever been put in a situation when you thought you should have spoken up, but didn't. We're surrounded by those kinds of situations today, every single day, and more every day. Just listen to what kind of things are going on these days. Interesting pieces that appeared this week. For the past 30 years, we're told that St. Louis Cardinals schedule a Christian Day at Busch Stadium, wherein a famous athlete or other public figure confesses publicly their faith in Jesus Christ. This year, however, a small group identifying themselves with the so-called LGBTQLSMFT confession demanded that Major League Baseball cancel that special day. Amazingly, to their credit, the Cardinals organization refused to cancel, though they also gave in to a certain extent, saying, "We are excited to announce that we will be hosting our first Pride Night later this season." That sounds like a mixed confession denial. Well, you've read and heard of the countless other examples of people, especially when you talk about gay marriage, confessing their faith and being persecuted for it. Bakers, florists, photographers, even pizza shops. Many point to the risen Lord's threefold question of Peter at the end of John's Gospel to be related to the absolution, as absolution for his earlier threefold denial. So when you have let the fear of men silence your confession, we must also remember the words of Psalm 130. But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. In that fear and faith, we encourage one another this day. In the words of our hymn, sound the trumpet, tell the message, Christ the Savior King is come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.